Okay, Kat, why don't you can you introduce yourself and let me know your position? And we're going to be talking about the tax bill, right, today? Is that correct?
That's correct.
Okay, so why don't you, at 3, 2, 1, go ahead and start. Okay, please.
Okay, good morning. I'm Kat Stoll, and I work for West Virginians for Affordable Health Care. And I also work for West Virginia Center on Budget and Policy, and I'm an economist and a lawyer, so there's two good reasons not to like me. But I've been working over this whole past year, and I am in West Virginia. I live up in the Berkeley Springs area. And we've been fighting again and again and again to stop Congress from repealing the Affordable Care Act. And now we've discovered that the tax package that is moving through Congress and in the Senate right now for a floor vote has actually become not only a bad tax bill, but a bad health care bill.
In what respect? It's going to get rid of the individual mandate, which my understanding is will seriously stress the future funding and affordability. So are there other things besides that?
Well, let's just, you know, there's basically five reasons why I don't like this package. And it was voted out of the Senate budget yesterday on a strictly party line vote, Republicans voting yes, Democrats voting no. The five reasons why I don't like the bill is, first of all, it's going to lead to sharp premium increases for folks who are in the individual market through the Affordable Care Act marketplace. And yes, it repeals what is called the individual mandate or responsibility provision, and I can explain why that's a good provision, but the bottom line is when you repeal that, which is in this tax package, 13 million people are going to lose their health insurance across the country, and the 30 to 32,000 people in the marketplace here in West Virginia are going to see their premiums increase about 10% more each year than they would have otherwise. So it's throwing in something they couldn't get done all summer into the tax package. The other reasons I don't like the tax package are more related to the tax side of it. They're basically, and we can get into the details, but they're giving tax cuts to the very wealthiest across the country and in West Virginia, and we're really talking about people at the very, very top, the top 1%, and we're talking about millions of dollars in cuts for those people. But the average middle class guy is going to see very little relief, if any at all, and some of us, lower and middle class folks, will actually see our taxes go up. The other reason why this bill is very frightening to me is that it increases the deficit, and it increases it by at least $1.5 trillion and probably closer to $2.9 trillion if you're honest about it. And when you increase the deficit, what you're basically doing is saying the government has less money because we're going to give it to the rich folks in the form of tax breaks. And next year, we will see that same deficit that they don't seem to be worried about in Congress right now become the excuse to start cutting programs like Medicare, Medicaid, housing assistance, food stamps, and even things like highway infrastructure and other capital investments in our country. What's really interesting is that where the bill stands right now, and under some procedural rules that I won't get into the details for, PAYGO rules, there is going to be a $25 billion cut to the Medicare program right off the top. And it's sort of an automatic cut. So I don't think people realize that this bill is actually going to hurt their Medicare program. So those are some of the things that we're concerned about.
Well, that's why they're shoving it through at a rapid rate, right? I mean, seems...
The procedure here is crazy. Normally, the way the U.S. Senate is supposed to function is that it takes 60 votes to get an important policy bill, and this is certainly as important as any, to get it done. 60 votes means that Republicans and Democrats have to work together. What we're seeing the Republicans do right now is use a special procedural process that allows them to move things with 51 votes.
Can you hold on 1 second? Can you hold on 1 second, Kay? Hold on 1 second. Hold on 1 second. go ahead. I think that if I took that call, and it's not letting me add it to this conversation, so I think it would end up replacing you. So I don't want to do that. Go ahead. I'm sorry. You were right. The last sentence just got a little bit garbled there. What was that?
Well, I'm just saying that what's happening in the U.S. Senate right now is that instead of using the normal process that is intended to force Democrats and Republicans to work together, to compromise, which is a process that usually yields a decent bill that no one's, you know, totally happy with, the Republicans in the Senate have said, no, we're going to push everything through, ram it through fast, and on a 51-vote special procedural rule, which really is abusing this rule. In fact, Senator Manchin did a press conference yesterday, and he is going to vote against this bill, by the way. That was clear from the presser and also conversation that several of us had with him yesterday. Senator Capito will vote yes. Senator Manchin is a no vote. But he was saying that one of the reasons why he opposes this bill is that they should not use these special rules to pass a bill on less than 60 votes, on 51, where they don't have to work across the aisle with their Democratic colleagues, and that this process is really quite abusive of what is intended to be the right process in the Senate. So they're ramming it through. We've had hardly any time to look at the bill, and, you know, they love to talk about how big the Affordable Care Act was, how many pages it was. We had hearing after hearing after hearing on that bill. This bill is even bigger. We've had not a single hearing, not any committee. This committee markup yesterday was 15 minutes long. No one knows what's in the package, including the members of Congress. And once again, they're trying to ram it through very quickly with a vote this week, when folks in the public and even the members themselves have no idea what they're voting on. It is crazy.
Okay, so, it looks to me, what are our hopes here? I've been counting the votes. It looks to me like the, I can't see, Senator Corker and Senator Flake both voted, I think I'm right about this, to send it out of committee. I can't see them going and voting against it once they've taken that kind of stand. So that leaves it down to two or three other senators, right, to determine the fate of how this is going to go. And I haven't heard anything from Senator Capito at any point in any of this debate that would lend the slightest confidence that she's going to vote against this, regardless of what harm it brings to most West Virginians.
Well, the Senator Corker from Tennessee, Johnson from Wisconsin, who were on the budget committee, had concerns about this huge deficit that this bill will create. They have apparently been appeased. They were up at the White House yesterday. They voted to move it out of committee, so we believe that they will vote on the Senate floor. Susan Collins from Maine is a moderate Republican who voted against repeal of the Affordable Care Act over the summer. She apparently is willing to vote for this package. There's some horse trading going on. I won't get into the details. Senator Capito has said she will vote for this bill. She has said that repeatedly. We have not had a lot of opportunity to talk about the bill with her. Again, this fast-track process.
Right.
But I do believe she cares about health care for folks in West Virginia. And I think what's important is that people continue to call her office and help connect the dots, which is, if you create this huge deficit to give tax breaks to the rich next year, this two-step process will lead to cuts to Medicare, Medicaid, and other programs that help middle-class and lower-income families. She apparently is just not connecting those dots right now. Senator Manchin has suggested to us that she is buying into trickle-down Reagan economics, you know, that somehow the tax breaks for the very wealthiest individuals and large corporations will trickle down and help the rest of us. And that has been disproved over and over again by many economists.
It's difficult to disprove something to someone who's getting a direct benefit from it. I mean, it's just, that's hard to do. You're right. I wonder, however, whether the China deal has had a bearing on how this is working out, in, at least with respect to West Virginia, Jim Justice, and that somehow if $80 billion comes into the state, that no matter what happens, they'll be able to solve some problem. And the fact that Trump and Wilbur Ross and those helped negotiate this with China, very big deal, if it ever transpires anyway. That seems to have purchased, Trump doesn't do stuff for nothing. So I'm wondering whether a deal, a quid pro quo of some kind, is involved with that.
Well, I can't really address that theory, although it's certainly interesting, but there's no question that a range of large corporations who are going to benefit from this new tax package will see their corporate rate reduced quite a bit. You know, some of us agree that a corporate rate could be reduced somewhat, but this is a dramatic slash in corporate taxes. And I think the corporate money in politics and in election campaigns are certainly playing a role in the positioning on this tax bill. There's no question about that. I can't say whether the China deal here, which I think has a lot of problems, and it could be a topic for a whole nother radio show, how that directly influences it, but certainly corporate money in our electoral process and in campaigns are shaping how people are voting on this bill.
Do you have any, if you had a message to send to Senator Capito and Senator Manchin, and I suppose our representatives as well, how would you frame the message at this point in time, and to try and is there anywhere in the Republican universe where there's a connection to the very bad things that may happen as a consequence of this? It seems to me. Is there any sense of where to talk? Where's any bridge at all?
Yeah, first of all, I wouldn't give up hope that we can't see this defeated on the Senate floor. I am an optimist and sometimes a crazy one, but I do think there are a couple members of on the Senate side who are still concerned. One of them is John McCain, who thinks the process of using this expedited 51 vote rather than 60 vote process is just wrong, and he may stand up and vote no because of the process. That's certainly a concern for Senator Manchin. Susan Collins, a deal's not cut yet. Whether or not they'll actually deliver on some of the things they're promising her isn't clear. In terms of calling senators, I can give you a toll-free number, 866-426-2631. Not the easiest number to remember, but I'll repeat it, 866-426-2631. That number puts you through to a recording that suggests some points that you can make and then directly connects you to Senator Capito and Senator Manchin. I think the points to make to them are, in particularly with Senator Capito, because I think Manchin is in the right place right now, is one, this important policy matter should not be done in an expedited, special, you know, bypass the normal rules of the Senate process. That's just wrong. Two, Senator Capito promised not to hurt West Virginians. She said that publicly and been quoted many times. This will hurt West Virginians. It will mean that 32,000 West Virginians are going to be at risk of losing their insurance or seeing their premiums go sky high. And third, there's no benefit in the tax code for us in West Virginia. A few very wealthy estates, we're talking 100 estates, might benefit from the changes in the estate taxes, but generally this is not a bill that helps West Virginia. So don't pass a bill that gives tax breaks to the very richest in our country and to wealthy large corporations on the backs of working middle class and lower income Americans.
Well, that sounds like a fitting message with which to close this particular podcast. And I want to thank you very much for calling in and participating in the conversation. Okay?
Thank you.
All right. Take care.
Bye-bye. Bye-bye.